What's happening, my beautiful people? You're now tuned in to the Big and Bright Podcast.
It's your boy, Big.
And it's your boy, Bright.
Yes, sir.
Nice little halfway point here. We got in the NFL coming up. I know over the weeks, we've had a lot of guests in. We really had, you know, from Pontiac. We talked about the State of the Union in Pontiac. We talked about Pontiac Athletics as a whole. Mm-hmm. And thank you for all those listeners who tuned in. You know, we got great feedback about that. But now it's time for us to jump back into sports.
Yes, in
general. So with that said, Big, we at the halfway point in the NFL, man. Your Lions aren't faring too well. They was on a two-game winning streak. They feasted on the likes of the Jaguars and the Falcons, then turned around and got punched in the mouth by the Colts. My Bears, they started out really well, then had back-to-back losses, mm-hmm. Lost in overtime this past weekend to the New Orleans Saints, and the week before that had a – I don't even know what you want to call it, man, but you know, mm-hmm. they had a embarrassing loss the week before. So, you know, we're at the halfway point. My team is 5-3. Your team's
5-2.
We're 5-3.
Oh, y'all are 5-3. Yeah.
Thank you.
Of course you would
know. I'm 5-3 and the Lions are 3-4.
3-4. So, because at this point we would like to thank the NFC North is wide open. Thanks in part to the Minnesota Vikings. And who did you guys just lose to?
We lost to the Saints.
Thanks to the Saints and the Vikings.
It's not open for y'all.
It's wide open.
Not for the Lions.
It's wide open.
Your first taste of real competition.
It's wide open.
You got embarrassed, bro.
The easier part of our schedule is coming up. And we're 3-4.
Again, none of those games are gimmies because you should have lost against
Atlanta.
Didn't say they were gimmies. You should have lost against Atlanta.
You should have lost to the Lions if you really want to go there.
But we didn't.
We're a drop touchdown away from being at least 4-3.
Possibly.
So that would be a half a game behind you guys if we beat you.
But that's just to go to tell you
how wide open
it is.
It's
a week to week league, you know.
Definitely. It's an up down league. The Packers, I still think the Packers are overrated. And I still think the Vikings are underachieving. I don't think they're a 2-5 team. Mm. And they played as such Sunday.
No,
Dalvin Cook is amazing.
They are. No, they are. They are a 2-5 team. It's just the fact that you do understand one player beat them, right?
I do understand that.
I'm just saying you do understand.
Dalvin Cook destroyed them. You know what I'm saying?
One player beat them.
One thing that frustrates me about the NFL and about moves being made and just – You know, I was watching the NFL Network this past week, and the NFL trade deadline came and went, and all these names were being thrown around, Will Fuller to the Packers, J.J. Watt to the Packers, and all these different players' names were being thrown around. Oh, this, you know, player would fit right here, you know, would fit good here in this system, and nothing happened. It was almost like the NBA trade deadline. Comes and goes, man. And I thought the Packers could have used a guy like J.J. Watt. I mean, the Texans are garbage. They don't have a future. Romeo Crennel is their coach. I mean, they're 1-6.
They have a very bright future with all those first-round picks.
They got some picks coming up.
Not to mention whoever they bring in as their head coach. As long as they have Watson back there at quarterback, they have a very bright future.
They got some picks coming up, man, but that don't mean nothing until it happens. You know, not only do they have to get a new coach, they got to get a new general manager because Bill O'Brien got fired. That won't be a stretch to do. Yeah, but I'm just saying you don't know what their future is because you don't even know who the guy is or how he thinks.
I'm going to tell you this. It's brighter than Lions at this state right now. But let me tell you something that I heard that's quite interesting with the Miami Dolphins. Now, for those who don't know.
Shout out to my Dolphins.
Every team is yours, huh?
No, when I just say that because I was saying how they was going to make the playoffs this year.
You're worse than a whore in the penitentiary.
A lot of people didn't believe in the Dolphins this year, and I did.
They're not making the playoffs.
But they're not mine. They're
not making the playoffs.
Being facetious.
But the interesting fact that we have here is the fact that they've went to Tua Tagovailoa very early, and the fact that they were on a nice little streak with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, the thing is that and this is, you know, they broke it down and made a lot of sense. As of right now, the reason why they made that move is because they have to know what they have in Tua Tagovailoa. You have the Los Angeles Chargers out here with their quarterback, and he got Herbert. Yeah, Justin Herbert. He has him balling. However, you had Tua over here, and you don't know what you have. Now, the thing is that they threw him out there. Tua did not have a great day by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. He only passed for 97 yards. He had completed a touchdown. However, again, the jury is still out. We still got a lot to go to see. We have about 8 more weeks in the season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they need to know what's going on. Now, this is the scenario that could play out. If the Dolphins nosedive the rest of the season and are in the possibility of picking up a Trevor Lawrence or the young boy from Ohio State, Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, and they're in that scenario to do that, they then have stock.
Leverage. Yeah.
And Tua, and will trade Tua to get Trevor or Justin Fields, because those two are can't-miss prospects.
Well, I agree with that they would have leverage. I disagree that they would do that. That'd be stupid. I think you're better off. See, they would be in a position like the Lions were. The Lions had the third overall pick. So now you talk about this guy, Tua, as if you're going to get him, knowing all well that you're not going to get him, but you make teams trade to you so that you acquire assets. That's what the Dolphins would do, in my opinion. I disagree with what you said. I think they would make it look like, oh, okay, we really like these guys, but they really love Tua. So that gives them more leverage to acquire more draft picks and assets.
Again,
that's what I believe would happen.
But again, if Tua bombs out.
And by the way, the Dolphins are going to have at least an 8-8 season.
Again, if Tua bombs out, he's young, okay? Mm-hmm. He has NFL experience, but for some reason you just feel that he's not working for you. They would trade him.
Are you saying that the Dolphins feel that way? Or are you saying that this is why they threw him in there to see
this
what
is
they
why
have.
They threw him in there to see what they have.
Okay.
So if he bombs out, which, okay, we can't go off one game, so let's give
him time. You can't go off 1 year, to be honest with you.
We'll give him time. Mm-hmm. However, if they bomb out the rest of the year, that they will make two of somebody else's problem.
And see, this is my thing. Everybody is always talking about can't-miss prospects. Patrick Mahomes wasn't considered a no-miss prospect. He wasn't. I know everybody talked about how big his arm was. Lamar Jackson wasn't talked about as a can't-miss prospect. Russell Wilson wasn't talked about as such. Dak Prescott, some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL weren't those guys. Who cares about Justin Fields?
We know why they weren't those guys, okay? All of those quarterbacks that you mentioned
are black.
Thank you. So, therefore, no one's going to label a black quarterback a can't-miss prospect.
Well, you just said Justin Fields.
Again, I said Trevor Lawrence. So that's why.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah. Okay, that's cool. You said both, but that's cool. I ain't tripping off that.
So that is the ordeal. So the whole ordeal on this is that if you cannot know what you have now, mm-hmm. and then if again you started out at 500, and we are 3-3 we are 3-3.
Right.
And then you go from 3-3.
Well, they're 4-3 at this point.
Right. But what I'm saying is they go from 3-3, and you look at it overall. When you started, when you started Tua Tagovailoa, mm-hmm. you were 3-3. Now, let's see what Tua does moving forward. Because, again, Justin Herbert is taking over, and he's putting up numbers. Mm-hmm. Okay? And Justin Herbert was considered the best quarterback in that draft for that class.
I don't think that the Dolphins care too much of what Justin Herbert is doing or what the
Chargers
are
doing.
Oh, they
care. That's why he's playing.
Yeah, but
they care. That's why he's playing. And they need to know what they have in their quote-unquote supposedly franchise quarterback right now. They need to know. That's why he was thrown in there with no reason to throw him in there.
Well, I would say shout out to my man Fitzmagic, because he's been a trooper, man. I mean, for the fact that they even pulled him like that, and it what I mean the reason understandably to a sense, but you don't just snag a dude who got you winning for no reason. Like it wasn't no parts of his game that was falling or failing. It wasn't like he was doing his thing. You don't just take a man's job just because. I mean, that's bad management of players to me. That's terrible that they did that like that. And I like Tua. I wanted the Lions to draft Tua. But that was stupid to me. That didn't make any sense whatsoever. None. That made no sense.
Okay. Well, the reason why they did it is because they want to know what they have. All right? You don't want to sit here and set your franchise back. Again, this is the same ordeal that the Arizona Cardinals did just a few years ago when they had the young boy Jeff Rosen. Josh Rosen, right?
There you go, bud.
Yeah, he's right. One cough away from being out of the damn NFL altogether.
Right.
You know, however, they had Josh Rosen and then went ahead and wanted to see what they had with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, after they saw, okay, this kid's no good,
so I have
we're
a question.
Moving on to Kyler Murray.
So I have a question for you. When can you label a guy a bust, a quarterback, a first-round top 10 pick? When can you say he's no good?
It's hard to tell, man,
because
again,
you're,
a lot
you,
of these
you've
quarterbacks.
You've been saying Rosen is basically trash,
he
right?
He is.
And in my
there
opinion,
has to be some type of growth during the season that you're thrust into starting play. Now, we give you a couple games to suck, but there has to be some type of growth,
to
build on.
I mean, to be honest with you, Mayfield ain't that good either. Like
at all. And the Browns will look for another quarterback when this season is over. They will be looking for another quarterback.
That's a never-ending cycle with that organization.
It is what it is, but Baker Mayfield is not that good. You know, they'll be looking for another quarterback.
Sam Darnold ain't looking too good either. They talking about
the
him getting out of there
the
next
difference
year.
With Sam Darnold is Sam Darnold has absolutely no weapons.
Dude got mono last year.
Again, he has no weapons out there in New Jersey. So, well,
but he had some
Rutherford, New Jersey. Who
he had Robbie Anderson last year.
Again,
Lev Bell.
Are you labeling these guys weapons? True weapons? No. Come on, man.
No, I mean I'm not.
Come on.
I mean, but teams.
You
have
was expecting
worse.
Him to make chicken salad out of chicken shh. Okay. So with what he had. It wasn't nothing worth mentioning.
Plus, Bob Cooter is a running backs coach.
And he still don't have anything out there in New York.
Yeah, they've been selling.
So we don't know what Darnold is. Mm-hmm. But to the naked eye, he looks bad.
Yeah.
You know, just
that
like,
draft class is starting to look bad.
Perfect example.
Lamar
just like,
Jackson's starting to look like the only player that might be something out of there.
If he can complete a
and
damn
Josh
pass.
And Josh Allen.
If he can
Allen.
Complete a damn pass.
Yeah, two out of five.
If he can complete a pass and have, be surrounded with weapons, we don't know what Lamar Jackson can do.
That's true.
Because he doesn't have now we'll
he
see.
He came into a good situation.
We'll see when he's there with, they just got Dez Bryant. So we'll see when Dez Bryant gets thrusted into action and Dez Bryant is the number one. And the number one? Yeah, he will be the number one and Hollywood Brown will be the number two. Hollywood Brown is a number two receiver.
I think Snead is number two right now. But I don't think Dez Bryant's going to, I think Dez will be the three.
Dez will be the one. He's big body, physical guy.
He is big, but he's older though too and he's been
I understand that, but they will make him a one.
Okay.
You have to. You can't rely on Snead.
So why did
Brown.
They put him on a practice squad? Just to work him up?
No, for COVID reasons. You know, you got to go on a practice squad for about 2 weeks before you're allowed to join the franchise, right?
Gotcha.
So you got to pass all these protocols. Then that's even if you got traded from a team, you're going to, these guys who got traded, they're going directly to the practice squad.
Yeah, that's why.
We'll be there for 2 weeks.
Everson Griffin couldn't play the first time.
So, you know, these quarterbacks out here, like perfect example in the Bears and Saints game, right, where it could make a quarterback look bad. And to the naked eye, it would just be, oh, well, damn, this quarterback sucked. Well, Nick Foles threw an interception where, against the Saints on a play to Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham kept running the damn seam route against the cover three when constantly, I mean, against the cover three, he read the defense wrong and was supposed to make an outcut.
Mm-hmm.
And Foles threw it to where the outcut was supposed to be. Jimmy wasn't paying the damn attention and boom, a la interception. You know what I'm saying? But you look at Nick Foles and you'd be like, damn, Foles, what the hell are you doing? You stink, man. This guy's terrible. Not knowing that Jimmy ran the wrong damn route against cover three. right. when he was supposed to run the out. Instead, he ran the damn seam. So that is Sam Darnold's case out there with the Jets, you know, and it's pretty bad. But I got a feeling that Sam Darnold, whatever team picks up Sam Darnold, and actually he's surrounded with some weapons, he'll be okay. But until then, he's going to rot, man. He's rotting away out there and with the Jets, man. It's unfortunate, but that's just what it is. So,
man, I can't believe y'all lost two games straight.
Yeah. I mean, we had a tough loss against the Rams.
Y'all beat the Bucks.
Yeah.
Beat the Panthers. So y'all beating the NFC South.
Yeah, it's just a.
Oh, y'all just lost to the Saints. So
That was the only loss. But, mm-hmm. you know, again, it's a week to week league.
Y'all got the Titans coming up.
We're trying to figure out. We're not worried about the Titans. We're trying to figure out what's our best offensive combo, our lineman combo.
Speaking of
because
combo.
Because our offensive lineman is trash.
Speaking of combo, let's talk about that 1-2 punch, that two peas in the biscuit my man got. From y'all, the Bears fight. Anthony Miller got poked in the face.
Yeah, I seen
poked in the chin or whatever.
Yeah, Anthony Miller got poked in the eye by the same guy who's been punched in his face by his teammate. You know, so I mean, this dude is fresh off of getting his ass whooped. You know, Michael Thomas.
He a big cat. A big dude.
No, he not. Who?
I mean, he looked tall.
Who?
The guy that punched number 22 for the Saints.
Oh, well, okay, yeah.
What, about 6'3"?
That's Wims.
Yeah, Wims, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Ain't he a tight end or something?
No, he's a wide receiver.
Javon
Wims, he's 6'3". But I'm talking about the corner from the Saints.
Yeah.
He got punched in the face by his own teammate.
Oh, that's
Michael Thomas whooped his
ass. That's the one Michael Thomas beat up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Michael Thomas whooped his ass. That's why he hasn't played since week one.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Why didn't?
It's in-house suspension, man. In-house suspension. So, you know.
Is he injured still?
I don't think so. I just think he got suspended, which I think Michael Thomas probably will be looking for.
They should have traded him, man.
He's looking for an out from the Saints, and this is the honest to God truth. I truly believe he's looking for after this season, he'll be looking on his way out, and Drew Brees will probably be on his, you know, on his last leg here. But
yeah.
He's trying to keep it going, but oh, baby arm Drew, I don't get it, but. No said about that. Mm-hmm. He did some disrespectful stuff against the Bears. He you know, poked Anthony Miller in the eye. He snatched Javon Wims' mouth guard off his helmet, threw it, caused a delay of game penalty because Javon Wims didn't have a mouth guard, so he had to get off the field. They had to find a replacement.
I thought he just poked Anthony Miller in the eye.
No, he was doing some antagonizing things, man.
So he did something with Wims. Yeah, that's what made Wims pissed off.
Exactly. And so Wims was stewing at that point.
Yeah.
And then when he finally got the opportunity, he went there and he did that. But Javon Wims, if you ever listen to the Big and Bright, and if you're listening to Bright, that opportunity you had was golden. You never punch a helmet, number one, because they can't feel it. What you should have did is went up to him. Exactly. You caught him on the side anyway while he was sitting there doing his little dance in front of his bench or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you should have grabbed him right up under that face mask and just slung him face first into the field. And he'd have been concussed. If you really trying to hurt somebody. Yeah. If you really that
or
mad. Or
could have drop kicked him in the chest.
Nah, a drop kick wasn't going to do it. You had to literally grab him.
You'd have been embarrassed.
You would have literally grabbed him. If you would have literally grabbed him right up under his face mask and just literally, you know how you do a hip toss, mm-hmm. but it's you holding on to the face mask and you just snatch it really hard and really fast, he would have went head first into that turf and would have been concussed, if not broke his neck.
You want to break a man's neck?
Hey, you do what you got to do.
No, I'd
do
drive,
what you gotta do.
I'd have drive kick, cuz.
No, seriously, though. It would have got to that point. I mean, at some point in time, these antics got to stop. You know, last year, he did the same stuff with Tariq Cohen.
I was really surprised to see that he just walked up to my man, fired on him like
yeah,
that.
See, me.
I was like, what is that?
Me personally,
I didn't know nothing, the
me
backstory.
Personally, I'd have waited till after the game, and I'd have wore his ass out in that tunnel. Exactly like, remember, I think it was last year, where Leonard Fournette, and the the linebacker from the Buffalo Bills, they got in the tunnel and got the rumbling.
Straight up?
Yeah. They got in the tunnel and got the rumbling. And, you
that's
know,
funny.
That's how you do it. That's how you handle business. You just catch them in the tunnel. Therefore, it's not on TV. And, you know, if you whoop his ass, you whoop his ass. So
right.
Enough said. But aside from the NFL, over the weekend, it was a boxing bout with the young man, Tank Davis. which we call Baby Mike Tyson. Yeah. And oh my God,
he knocked my man out.
He threw an uppercut from the lower room. And when he caught him, oh my God, he damn near killed dude, man. I mean, literally killed dude. I'm really pumped about that, man. I was watching it and I'm like, damn, like he really putting in work, man. Really putting in work. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is though, is that
Santa Cruz.
Yeah. Is it Leo Santa Cruz?
Oh, or, I just know Santa Cruz. Yeah. I don't know. Leo.
Yeah, Leo Santa Cruz, man. And the punch was so vicious. The punch was so vicious. It was ridiculous, man. It was just like, damn.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up now.
Yeah, it was quite ferocious, man, with ferocious tenacity. I got it right here.
You got it?
Yeah. Okay. Check that out, man. Watch how he catch him with the uppercut.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, watch how he catch him with the uppercut. He's out. And the way he gets laid out is like how people get lined in chalk on murder scenes in movies.
Oh,
with the crooked leg and everything.
He took a nasty one.
Yeah, he got buked.
He got nasty.
He got buked for real.
He got, ooh, that was nasty.
He got buked for real. So
yeah, he took one.
Oh, man.
Jesse. He took one for the team.
Look, you sleepy there, ain't you, Big Bear?
He took one for the team right there. Mm. Dang. Mm. And what round was that? That was later,
that was
right?
The sixth round.
Oh, sixth round?
Okay. Sixth round. So, you know, I want to see Tank Davis fight, you know, I want to see Tank Davis fight Teofimo Lopez.
Okay. Yeah.
So I definitely want to see that, you know. But anyway, just had to go off on my little boxing thing real quick.
No
but
doubt.
Man,
I like Tank, man. I liked him. I liked the first time I seen him, man. I seen him about 3 years ago.
Baby Mike Tyson, man.
Yeah, Baby Mike. Speaking of Baby Mike, they calling old boy Baby Brian now.
DK Metcalf. Yeah.
Man, dude, they better not compare him no more times to Calvin Johnson, bro. Calvin used to get doubled.
Well, you know, this is only his second year in the NFL.
They need to stop. They need to let that man do what he's going to do.
Again, this is only his second year in the NFL. Calvin didn't come Calvin didn't come into his own until about year three, year four.
About year three.
You know, so like, give him some time. Give him some time.
Don't call him. Don't compare him to Megatron. Call him Baby Brian. That's cool. You can do that if you want. But Megatron was one of a kind. And I'm still pissed at Megatron for retiring on the Lions. But
he did what he needed to do.
Yeah. It's almost like when Barry retired so abruptly. It hurt your feelings, man. But you had to understand it. You had to. As a fan, you have to understand.
Just accept it, man. Let it wash over you. Get over it.
Yeah.
Let it wash over you.
No doubt.
But
Calvin is making amends with the organization. I mean, they're kind of he's kind of coming around a little bit.
No, he's not until they give him that money that they took from him. So the state of the Patriots right now.
Yeah.
And your brain trust, Bill Belichick.
Yeah. So it's looking as if we're both right in a sense. And
no, it ain't no both to
it. Well, no, listen to what I have to say about it. You said that Tom Brady was the orchestrator of those six championships.
He was the main culprit of those six championships.
Right. He orchestrated it. He made it happen.
Mm.
I said that the Patriots
said they can plug and play anybody there at quarterback.
Well,
Bill Belichick, he could put anybody at quarterback and get them Super Bowls.
But what I said also is that the Patriots wouldn't be good this year. That's what I said. I was right about that.
I thought they would have had to, you know, would have competed with Cam Newton, you know, with Cam Newton back there. But Cam ain't got no damn weapons, man. Who he got to throw the ball to?
You know what? I don't even necessarily blame Cam, though.
You can't blame Cam.
I mean, I told you, though. I told you when all those players was opting out.
Who does he have to throw the ball to?
That's the question. Yeah, I mean.
Can you name a receiver on the Patriots roster right now?
Yeah. N'Keal Harry.
Bum.
Is he bum?
Bum.
And what's the name is out, right? Edelman, is he out? Yeah. He injured?
Yeah. Bum.
Who they tight end?
See what I'm saying?
They normally got two. 2-3 tight ends they can go to. Man, Ben Watson still there?
The cupboard is dry.
Let me see who they roster in New England. Bro. I gotta look at.
They don't
roster.
Have much of nothing there, you know. And they're trying to run a power football. They're trying to run power football with Cam Newton as the lead back. That's a good way to get him hurt. You know, you won't let him throw half the damn time. He can't. You won't let him roll to his right and throw to his right. It's bad, man. It's bad. So,
but they've been in every game.
Absolutely. They've been in every game. Cam is keeping.
I blame Cam for that loss Sunday. He fumbled at the end of the game when y'all was making a game-winning drive.
Mm.
That's one big game against a division opponent.
Mm-hmm.
You blew that, sir. I don't care how you trying to cut it. Oh, he coming off COVID. Oh, he injured. Came off injury. I don't care about none of that. You here now. You said you was ready. You said the NFL was going to pay for making you sit and wait. Do your thing, man. Win that game. Go out there and win that game. So you blew it.
He fumbled.
You blew it. Y'all would have been 3-4. You know, but, I mean, y'all 2-5 right now. The Dolphins are better than you.
They're going to have to run the table.
So,
well, then again, with it being 17s making, and they're saying a possible 16-team playoff, it's possible that the Patriots could be 8-8, 9-7, and still make it.
When did they bench Cam? The game before last? They put Jarrett Stidham in there?
Mm-hmm, towards the end.
They benched him.
Towards the end. I told you about the San Francisco 49ers, run of fortune with Jimmy Garoppolo being out for the year, Kittle being out for the year. It's done.
Well, they said Kittle was out for up to 8 weeks.
That's 8 weeks left in the season. He's done.
But Kittle's tough, though. They said he could come back.
He's done. He's not coming back.
Now, what's Garoppolo's deal?
He's done. He needs surgery.
What's wrong with him?
His foot. Ankle.
Hmm. Well, to answer your question, then this is the Patriots wide receiver.
Well, actually, it's Jimmy Garoppolo's ankle, and George Kittle has a broken bone in his foot. Neither one of them are coming back the rest of the year. They're both done.
I hear you, but the 49ers got good depth, so we'll see.
Good depth, really? As we go into the thick of the season, was it good depth Sunday? They got the hell beat out of them.
They did.
That good depth Sunday?
No, sir. N'Keal Harry is the only one that I know. I don't know Isaiah Ford.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, I know Julian Edelman. He's on the IR, though. Demir Bird. Gunner. Can you say this name?
Gunner Bum. That's who he is. A damn bum.
Ya bum.
Gunner. Katie, see if you can say this name right here. I'm going to zoom in.
Gunner Bum.
That's like, it's like right in the middle of my, hold on one second.
He's a bum.
I just, hold on.
So his last name is not even relevant. It's not even relevant.
It's right over Matthew Slater.
Yeah, it's Gunner Bum.
Right over Matthew Slater in the middle of the screen there.
Gunner Bum.
It's like old something.
Gunner Old Bum.
Gunner Ozli.
Gunner. Old Bum.
Ozuski. Ozuski?
Okay. Sounds like a sofa.
Sounds like a harmonica player.
No, it sounds like a sofa retailer. Somebody who owns a furniture store.
Ozuski.
Or a cleaners.
Isaiah.
Or a deli shop. Yeah. Or a deli shop.
Quincy Adebayo. Never heard of him. He's on the IR.
Bum.
Jacoby Myers, Matthew Slater, Marquise Lee.
Matthew Slater is still making a damn roster, bro. That's crazy.
That's because he's their best special teams player, highest
like the last 40 years. It seemed like
he's been in the NFL for a long time
since the whoa.
Actually, you know what? He opted out, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm certain he did because I haven't heard any Matthew Slater name.
Yeah, they got him listed as the second receiver on the left side.
Mm. Enough of the Patriots, man. It's moving on.
Ryan Izzo is their tight end. He's their lead tight end.
Moving on. In college football, man, big up to your Spartans with the upset, man, of Wolverines.
Yes.
Well, really, big up to the young boy White, the wide receiver, Ricky White,
mm-hmm.
who torched Michigan's secondary.
Yeah, Michigan got a bad secondary.
To the extreme.
This is the part where
we cue the Hail to the Victors music right here, and I'm gonna tell you why. My Michigan alums, my great Michigan alums, as the music of Hail to the Victors play in the background, settle yourself in, and I'm going to tell you why, okay? I'm going to tell you why I want you to settle yourselves in, okay? You haven't been absolute jack crap for the last 20, 30,
20
well,
years.
I give you 20 years. 20. And you, not even 20 years.
23.
I give you 23 because you had a shared title in 1997. You haven't won a national championship outright since 76. There we go.
Look at Katie.
There we go. Yeah.
We were freshmen the last time Michigan were a good team.
Outright
in high school.
Title. And we're not even talking about good here. We're talking about this blind ass Michigan standard that these mouth breathers in Ann Arbor think they have.
Yep.
Right? So this is the deal. And I'm just gonna be honest, okay? And I want you to listen to me, and I'm going to try to bring reason to you, okay?
I don't think their fans are reasonable, but...
No. But listen.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to... And again, as the Hail to the Victors music plays in the background, just let it wash over you, okay? You're mad at Jim Harbaugh for what? Exactly. Because you said, number one, he can't beat Ohio State. Okay, well, let's see here. Before Jim Harbaugh got there, you've lost to Ohio State 10 straight times. Before Jim Harbaugh got there. So when were you regularly beating Ohio State?
But they brought him there to beat Ohio State.
Because, again, you didn't beat Ohio State with Brady Hoke. You didn't beat him with Rich Rod. And you didn't beat him with Lloyd Carr. So, again, when were you regularly beating Ohio State? You weren't regularly beating Ohio State since the Gary Moeller days. That's a long time ago. You wasn't regularly beating them. It was Gary Moeller and Bo Schembechler.
They split.
Hold on.
They split with Lloyd Carr.
Ohio State
has always owned Michigan, but they won
during
more.
Lloyd Carr's years, okay? Yeah. Lloyd Carr has a losing record against Ohio State.
Let me see what it is.
Okay?
Well, yeah, he does. Everybody does.
When Jim Tressel came, I think Jim Tressel has lost to Michigan once. Once. Okay, now let's roll with this, right? Regularly, with Lloyd Carr, you at least regularly beat Michigan State, right? Okay, we give you that. But
Lloyd Carr was 6-7 against Michigan,
a losing record. But like we said,
but that's not bad though.
A lot of the six of his wins came against John Cooper as Ohio State's head coach. You didn't know that.
Don't care.
Okay, when Jim Tressel took over,
mm-hmm.
he dominated Michigan. Dominated.
Put his foot down his neck.
Okay, so now moving on to your next rival, Michigan State. Well, let's see. Rich Rod couldn't beat him. Brady Hoke couldn't beat him.
Mm-hmm.
Lloyd Carr would beat them regularly. Okay, I give
Lloyd
you that.
Lloyd Carr did. That was when
Lloyd Carr beat them regularly, and Jim Harbaugh at least made it a talked about rivalry again.
Yeah.
Because before Jim Harbaugh got there, you were getting your asses kicked.
D'Antonio's a big reason why they turned that rivalry around.
Yeah.
D'Antonio is.
Yeah. So, again, you know, this is the thing here, though.
But Lloyd Carr's record was 121-40, though.
121-40, and Jim Harbaugh's 38-8.
He's 38-8?
Yes.
It's pretty darn
good.
But they brought you there to win it.
Wait.
I've been waiting.
Because, again, I'm breaking it down. So, again, you have this. Michigan, you were never competing on the national scale. Never competing.
But Harbaugh was supposed to be that guy.
You were never competing on a national scale. What Jim Harbaugh is doing is the same standard for Michigan football as it's been long before he even became the coach.
So that's acceptable?
Do you know? Okay, again, right?
I'm just trying to
understand. Wait. Who's their greatest coach? Who's Michigan's greatest coach of all time?
Bo Schembechler or Lloyd Carr? Which one?
Bo Schembechler, right? How many national championships has Bo Schembechler got? Zero. Just as much as Jim Harbaugh.
I'm serious.
It's zero.
Right.
Just the same as Jim Harbaugh.
Right.
Zero. So, again, he has the same amount of national championships as Jim Harbaugh. Zero.
Okay.
So, again, where's this Michigan standard that we're holding Jim Harbaugh to? Because, again, he's doing the same exact stuff that the great Bo Schembechler
did. Can you at least admit this, though? And I'm just going to put a quick dent in your statement, and then I'll let you get back to it. Of all the coaches that you named, even Rich Rod and Brady Hoke, the worst quarterbacks have been under Jim Harbaugh. I'll give it back to you.
False.
Is it false?
False.
Okay.
False. Okay.
Prove me wrong.
Yes, false. Because, I'm sorry, Driscoll was a starting quarterback. Guess who he was under? Rich Rod, Brady Hoke.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, the only good quarterback Michigan had was Shoelace. That was it.
And who was he under, Hoke?
He was under Rich Rod.
Okay.
That's it. Okay.
What about the Devin Gardner? He was pretty okay. I mean, Devin Gardner was better than some of these guys they got now. Can we be honest about that? And you included made a whole big fuss about this cat that came out of that transferred to the
school.
He's
pretty good, and he put up good numbers against Michigan State.
Who, the big kid? What was his name again? Number Shea Patterson?
No.
Yeah. Well,
no.
That's what I'm talking about.
No.
Y'all made a big fuss about Shea Patterson.
I'm talking about the starting quarterback now at Michigan.
Yeah. Milton. Joe Milton.
Joe Milton put
up. But I'm talking about Shea Patterson y'all was fussing about.
We not talking about him.
Oh, no, you weren't talking about him.
We not talking about him.
Y'all, you was when he got there.
So, again.
Oh, he's going to do this. He's going to do that. He called my phone. Oh, you guys, he's going to whoop your A. He's going to do this.
He beat you. He has a running record against you.
He's a bum.
He has a running.
And now he's not in the NFL.
It doesn't matter, but he has a running record against Michigan State.
Okay. You got it.
So you're bringing it up for what?
Because I'm saying Devin Gardner and some of those guys were better than him.
Devin Gardner never beat Michigan State. So your point is what?
I don't think that's correct.
No, that is correct.
And I'm a Michigan State fan, and I think you're wrong as heck.
Okay. Well, when Devin Gardner was at Michigan, that was during the times Michigan State was the dominant school in the state.
He was there for 3 years, right?
Know your facts.
How many years were you there?
Know your facts.
I'm asking.
He was there for all four.
Okay. So you trying to tell
me. Why are you saying 3 years like you're
trying to? You trying to tell me Michigan State beat them four straight times while he was there?
I think so, buddy.
I'm a Michigan State fan, and I'm telling you that's not true.
Yeah, because Michigan State.
I'm going to Google it.
Yeah, Michigan State won, if I'm not mistaken, all
Bro,
four times.
We never won four straight against Michigan.
Yes, you have.
No, we haven't.
Yes, you have.
This guy.
Again, I don't think this guy understands.
This guy.
During the Michigan State run when they were going to the Cotton Bowls and going to the college football playoff and winning Big Ten championships. You know, that was during the time that Devin Gardner was at Michigan.
I got you.
So, again, back to my thing. Where is Jim Harbaugh? What is Jim Harbaugh doing that hasn't been the constant there at Michigan? Because I'm sorry, my Maize and Bluers, but on the up and up, you were 3-9 before Jim Harbaugh got there. 3-9.
There was trash.
3-9. Okay.
And every year they was like, next year.
Do you want to go back to obscurity? Because Jim Harbaugh has 1 year left on his contract, and I'm pretty sure he's probably going to break for the NFL. I'm certain.
He might leave after this season.
Because in all honesty, the yuppies in Ann Arbor.
Because he ain't beating Ohio State.
The yuppies in Ann Arbor will not allow Jim to go to these inner cities and recruit the type of kids that he need in order to win a national championship and put Michigan on that national level like Ohio State does. Like Alabama does.
All right, just real quick. Devin Gardner lost to Michigan State in 2011.
Mm. Yeah, that's when he was a starter, right? Because it was a couple years he didn't start.
I don't know. I'm just going to say wins and losses when he was there. Lost in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Michigan State in 2012. So he beat them, like I said, one of those times.
You sure about that?
Yes.
Because he was sharing time, too.
In 2012. They beat Michigan State by the score of...
Who was the quarterback in 2012?
Let me see. He was against Michigan State. Well, maybe he didn't start.
Oh.
Maybe he didn't start until Minnesota.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He didn't start until Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about you said...
Oh, but no. I told you he didn't have a winning record against Michigan State. And I told you he never beat Michigan State.
Boston, Michigan State in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2014, they lost to Michigan State as well.
Oh, okay. So, again, I told you.
Beat Michigan State.
I told you Devin Gardner never beat Michigan State. That was what I told you. He never beat them. He never beat them.
Okay.
Okay. So again, I know what I'm talking about.
No, that's back. I mean, that's cool because it ain't like.
Okay. Well, but like I said.
But he was on the roster and they did beat Michigan State.
What does that have to do with him beating Michigan State like I told you?
I got you.
He never did it.
I'll give you that. You got it.
Okay. Now, moving forward.
Right one, big nothing.
What is the ordeal that Jim Harbaugh isn't doing that any other head coach didn't do? He's keeping you exactly where you're supposed to be.
Come on, man. You can't possibly tell me that you didn't have an expectation that Jim Harbaugh would turn things around. He's turned things around, right? Right? Am I right?
Absolutely.
His record is 38-8.
Absolutely.
Bro, you can't beat Ohio State once.
Neither could the coaches before him.
I just told you Lloyd Carr was 6-7.
Cooper was there. John Cooper was fired because he couldn't beat Michigan.
So now you want to bring out individual coaches from Ohio State.
Hold on.
Ryan Day is different than Tressel and Urban Meyer.
Listen, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
You're talking about three coaches. You're talking about three coaches here. Three that have never lost against Michigan. Three. Since the firing of John Cooper. Three that have never lost to Michigan. Three.
Is there a coach that could come to Michigan and beat Ohio State?
No. Because you know what it's going to have to take in order for them to beat Ohio State?
The recruiting.
It's going to take a change in the culture in Ann Arbor. But these Michigan men that they want to recruit. Okay, do you know what a Michigan man is, right?
Yeah, a guy that has ties to Michigan.
A Michigan man, right?
Whether he played or coached there before.
Okay. And what did the Michigan man look like?
Losers.
No. What do they look like?
They're white. They all white.
Mm. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, you're not going to win like that. I'm just being honest. It's not being mean. It's not being out cold. It's telling you the damn truth. You're not going to win like that.
I hear you.
This is why you go out there and you take it up the rear every Saturday in November when you play Ohio State.
But it sounds like defeat in your voice when you say, he's just doing what he's supposed to do. It's like, no.
He's keeping status quo.
And that's good enough. Is that what you're saying?
That's what it's always been at Michigan.
You just lost to Michigan State.
That's the way it's always been.
A rookie head coach who had all of 2 or 3 months to recruit, who didn't have any time with his players face-to-face aside from Zoom and text messaging, etc.
What was the difference in that game?
A team that came off of a Rutgers beatdown.
What was the difference in that game?
Obviously, what hurt?
That was the difference.
Okay.
And if you don't have it, if you can't recruit players with it.
Yeah.
Michigan is, listen, let me tell you.
What's up with Joe Milton? Is he good?
Yeah, he is. Very good. But Michigan is full of kids from these weak-ass
California
Catholic prep school leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Weak. Okay, weak as hell.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Ohio State. Where are they recruits from?
Most of them from Ohio.
No. Cleveland. Mm-hmm. That's an inner city.
Yeah.
Youngstown, Ohio. That's an inner city.
Some from Columbus. Toledo.
Some from Columbus. Toledo. That's another inner city.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a team full of what?
Some from Detroit.
A lot from Detroit. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of dogs on that team.
Yeah.
A lot of brothers with heart on that team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They have a lot of individuals who are going on the first damn day of the NFL draft on that team.
No doubt. And it's been that way for a long time.
Absolutely.
Long time. As long as I can remember.
Michigan. Until you start recruiting these inner cities.
Mm-hmm.
Like Flint. Like Pontiac. Like Detroit.
And Michigan used to recruit. They had a lot of Detroit guys.
Exactly.
Like Brandon Graham and, you know, Lamar Woodley.
During the Lloyd Carr years.
And all those guys.
During the Lloyd Carr years.
Yeah.
Until Michigan starts back to recruit these inner cities like Saginaw, you know, like Inkster.
They even had them Grady boys from Grand Rapids back in the day.
Yeah. Until you start recruiting these dogs.
Even Mike Hart was from, like, Harlem.
Until you start recruiting Brooklyn. These dogs,
mm-hmm.
these brothers from the inner city that you allow to go to Ohio State, that you allow to go to Alabama. I mean, this is in your own backyard.
Where was Charles Woodson from? What part of Ohio?
I think it was like Maslin.
Like Dayton or something?
Maslin, Ohio or something like that.
Okay.
Or yeah. No. I think he was from Canton, Ohio.
Canton, he might be.
Yeah.
Canton.
But again, until you start recruiting these inner city boys
mm-hmm.
who got heart, who got something to prove, who got a chip on their shoulder,
yeah.
you're going to keep getting your ass whooped. That's what it's going to be.
I think there's a coach that could help turn it around.
No, it's not a coach.
No, but coach and culture go together.
I understand that. Right. Harbaugh has culture, okay, because he won at Stanford, another yuppie school with brains, but they allowed him to go to Compton and go and get Richard Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
They allowed him to go and get the dogs he needed.
Mm-hmm.
These cats from the inner city. They allowed him to go get a Trent Williams. You didn't know Trent Williams went to Stanford.
That's what's up.
Straight goon, but he went to Stanford. Smart mm-hmm. brother. You know what I'm saying?
Richard Sherman pretty smart too.
Absolutely. Another smart one. But I'm saying these cats are from the inner cities.
Right.
That's why Stanford was competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And was on the national scene. Until the alumnus and the boosters and these racist-ass ADs get out the way and allow Harbaugh to recruit the type of guys he need, Michigan is going to keep getting their ass whooped with these Catholic school boys. It's not going to work.
So what's next? Because I think we've established that Harbaugh's going to be gone.
He's probably going to go back to the NFL.
Yeah, he's going to be gone. So what's next for these guys, man? I mean,
seller.
Can you see
the seller?
Because, I mean, Michigan is still a top 10 program, like a top 10 destination for a head coach. Michigan has the Jordan brand behind them. Michigan has 100,000.
They have the biggest stadium in college football.
Right. They have a lot going for them as far as a brand, a name.
They're always going to be a national brand.
Right, a top 10. So even if they're number 10. So who do you – can you see anybody going to them, or do you like a PJ Fleck?
No.
Maybe an NFL guy?
No.
Maybe a guy that's out there that has a name?
No, because they're going to keep getting their Michigan men.
I don't think it's working.
It ain't working. Hell no, it ain't working.
Ward Manuel.
Again, Harbaugh's hands is tied, man. His hands is tied. So it's only so much he can do. His hands is tied with the individuals that he's allowed to recruit.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a tough road for the Maize and Blue, tough sledding for them, man. But,
yeah,
you know, Penn State has already surpassed them as the second best team in the Big Ten.
No doubt. You know?
So, and
I don't know about James Franklin, though. He makes some pretty stupid decisions every year.
Well, because, again, he's brought Penn State from
Didn't
the
they
depths.
Lose to somebody? They lost to
They lost again. They lost again. They lost to Indiana, and then they lost again this past damn weekend.
Oh, yeah, they out of there.
So, you know, they started the season 0-2. But, you know, James Franklin has brought them from the depths of hell after the Paterno and Sandusky ordeal.
Yeah.
With the rhythmic smacking of
Michigan is going to lose about 3 games this year.
It might 4 or 5.
Oh, my goodness.
To be totally honest.
Harbaugh might have to step down this
year.
But
No. It's the fact, and you also take into consideration that a lot of players from Michigan opted out, too, this year and decided to go pro.
Oh, yeah. Well.
You know, and start working on whatever they had going on. But it's gonna be tough sledding for the Maize and Blue, man. I just want the Michigan faithful to actually get realistic. And you know, you're about a 9-3 school. Always have been. 9-3, 10-2. Luck up, beat Ohio State one time out of probably 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
It's
unfortunate because
it is what it is.
You want better. You want better,
That's
man.
That's a fine. That's a fine, by the way.
Yes.
That's a fine. But, you know, it is what it is. But this upcoming week, who do your Lions got, man?
We got Minnesota.
Yeah, that's a loss.
We got Minnesota.
But I don't know, because Lions always play Minnesota pretty well.
Yeah.
Not since
we got this guy here.
I mean, if you can contain Dalvin Cook, you should be all right. Because that's all Minnesota has.
Yeah, Everson Griffin will be starting this week. Well, he probably won't start because the Lions don't ever start better players. But he'll get a lot of time. But I'm pissed off at Danny Shelton for that stupid penalty he got against the Colts. Because of that is why we lost.
Bro, you lost by 20-some points.
We lost. Yeah, I know. But you know how, like, the drive is over and it's fourth down, and then like the player gets a 15-yard penalty and it extends it, and then that team scores.
Right, but that game was never close.
It was close.
In the first, what, quarter?
In the first.
Quarter?
It was.
Half? It seemed like they ran away with it in the third. They blew the they
third
blew
quarter.
The, they blew it
yeah.
Over.
It was. It ended up being 28-14. When Stafford threw that pick six, it was over. It was over at that point. Mm. But Danny Shelton was a big part of that loss, man. That penalty was. The Colts wouldn't have scored. They'd have had to punt it. And he gave up a big penalty. But that's neither here nor there. The Lions are 3-4. They should be 5-2. That's neither here nor there either. But if they can win these next two against Minnesota and Washington, they'll be in the driver's seat. They'll be in the driver's seat because they're going to win a couple more games that they shouldn't win. But I don't know, man. I don't know. They might just lose all these games, especially if Stafford don't play.
It's going to be ugly.
Chase Daniel, they going to get a taste of their $4 million man. They definitely going to get a taste of that guy.
I'm going to tell you, if this season ends the way you guys don't make the playoffs, which you're not, and then on top of that, you're picking in the top 10 again, what is your purpose for keeping Matthew Stafford? Blow it up.
I agree. I said that last year.
Blow it up.
When they went 3-12-1, I said that last year.
It's time to blow the crap up. Okay,
man, I'm just tired of this organization, dude. Like, the Ford's not tired. I don't understand it. The Ford's not tired enough.
Well, I'll tell you this: it's getting bad, baby. It's getting bad. The thing is that you know, just in Detroit, period, man. It's just all Detroit sports. Y'all suck in everything. Everything.
Yeah, they do. Speaking of which, the Tigers did get a new manager, AJ Hinch.
AJ Stench.
So I'm glad that they got him. He's a cheater, but hey.
Let's run through these picks real quick, man, for this week. You know, this we're going into week 9 of the NFL season. A lot of news and notes going on.
Yeah, it's been a minute since
this may be
picks.
The first time though, and for this game that I definitely talk about this may be the first time the Packers actually get a chance to beat the Niners. Packers and Niners, who you got?
I got Packers, man.
I got Packers in that one. Lions and Vikings, you're taking the Lions, I'm taking the Vikings. Giants and Washington football team. This is a key game here because if the Giants win this game, the Giants could be pivotal in second place in the NFC East, which they should have. You know, the crazy thing about it is the Giants could easily – be 3-4 instead of 1-7 because they went to the wire. My man dropped a pass against the Eagles, which could have locked up the game. And then on top of that, they could have beat Tampa Bay last Sunday.
Speaking of the Giants, if they cut Golden Tate, the Lions need to go get him.
Here we go with this Lions talk. You and your lovable losers. Giants or the Washington football team, who you taking?
I'm going to take Washington.
I'm going to take the Giants.
I'm taking Washington.
Giants are playing good ball. Giants are playing good ball. Panthers and Chiefs. Chiefs. Texans
I got Chiefs.
And Jaguars. Battle of the 1-6s.
Where are they playing at?
They're playing in Jacksonville.
I got Jacksonville.
I got.
They're going to have fans there.
I got Houston.
That might help.
Ravens and Colts. Battle of two good 5-2 teams.
Where are they playing at?
They're playing in Indianapolis. I got the Colts.
I got the Colts as well. Yes.
Yeah, that defense is solid.
So you're always saying the home team last, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
All right. Seahawks and Bills, I'm taking the Hawks.
Bills.
Okay. Broncos and Falcons, I'm taking the Broncos.
I got to take the Broncos, too, coming off that KJ Hamler touchdown.
Raiders and Chargers, I'm taking the Raiders.
I'm going to go Chargers.
Steelers and Cowboys, I guess we go agree. Steelers.
That would be funny if the Cowboys won that. I'm going to go Steelers. 8-0.
It's not going to happen.
8-0 Steelers.
Dolphins and Cardinals. A 425
Ooh,
matchup.
Ooh, that's a sexy game.
I'm going with the Cardinals.
That's a sexy game.
No,
there.
It's not sexy because you understand that.
I'm going Dolphins.
Really?
I'm going Dolphins.
Okay.
On the road.
folks, if you remember last week while we were here debating and whatnot, Big was so gung-ho on the Ravens against the Steelers, and I told him the Steelers was going to win that game because they was
going to
force.
I need to go back and listen to that. I don't think I was gung-ho.
They was going
to
force Lamar Jackson to pass, and he was talking about how the Ravens like to blitz.
Was I young-ho or was I gung-ho?
You was gung-ho.
Was I young-ho?
Thinking like a young-ho. You was gung-ho.
Young-ho cool.
You was gung-ho thinking like a young-ho.
Shout out to young-ho cool for the
As I told you, if you have to blitz the majority of the time, your defense isn't that good because your front three or four can't generate pressure.
I did spend a little time about the blitz, but I don't think I was gung-ho or gung-ho on
that. You was gung-ho thinking like a young-ho with a crazy decision that you made, and it came back to bite you in the ass because the Steelers won.
But we also talked about how I chose the Steelers to win a division. So
spare me.
Yeah,
Saints and Buccaneers. This is the America's game of the week right here.
Saints at Bucs. This is going to be the Buccaneers win.
Yeah, the Buccaneers is going to beat the hell out the Saints. I'm going to tell you that now.
But watch out for Alvin Kamara.
Patriots and Jets. Patriots.
Ooh, I think I'm going to go Jets. No, I'm just playing.
Man, get off the drugs.
No, I'm going Pats. I'm going Pats.
All right. And then, of course, Sunday, you're going to take the Titans over my Bears. I'm going to take the Bears over the Titans.
Where are they playing?
They're playing in Tennessee. Cincinnati put a clinic.
I'm going to go Bears.
Oh, God. No.
You don't like that.
No. Cincinnati put a clinic. A legit clinic.
Yeah, they beat the Titans pretty good.
They put a legit clinic on
on the Titans.
On the Titans.
Yeah. They made the Titans look very vulnerable.
Absolutely.
And I think that's part of the reason why Vic Beasley and Jonathan Joseph were cut this week. Because
probably one of the
defense
main
was underwhelming. It was definitely underperforming.
Jesus Christ. Well, I mean, they did have what's the young boy who's always hurt at the defensive end? Clowney.
I'm about to say Corey Davis.
No, Clowney. He's always hurt. He's looking for a payday, played like three games, and I'm out for the year. So
I'm tired of him.
That is what it is. But
who
you know,
play on Monday night?
The Monday nighter is the Patriots and the Jets. Oh, nobody wants to see that.
That's gonna be the worst Monday night football game in probably a decade.
Nobody wants to see that crap. But speaking of crap, we like to get into the bootiest of the booty.
The booties.
Where we give a box to the most deserving participants.
Yes.
So with that said, Big, who
my
are you
first
off with?
Box is gladly going to Jim Harbaugh. Mm. I mean, you can't beat his record is 2-10 versus top 10 teams. So he's 38-8, but he's only won two games against top 10 teams. And he can't beat a rival to save his life. He can't beat Penn State, can't beat Ohio State, and all of a sudden you can't beat a rookie head coach at Michigan State. Q and Katie.
The booty! Oh!
Little delay there, but we they always on time, though. It's always good to hear that booty o's.
Oh, yeah.
My box. You know, today's election day, right? It's kind of funny, but I'm not going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, I am. President Trump, you get a box of, cue it, Katie.
The booty! Oh!
Take your loss like a man. Take it like a man. You don't, all this crying, all this back and forth, I'm going
to
sue.
They're trying
no
to take
one
the
did
election
this
from me.
When you won, okay? We accepted it.
They're trying to take the election from me.
Let it wash over you. Let it wash over you. You underestimated the mail-in ballot,
mm-hmm.
which I knew was probably a big mistake. And then last night you already projected yourself. Well, it's over. I won already. Mm-hmm. Thank you for a good fight. What are you doing?
And stop tweeting.
This is the incompetence.
They've been deleting his tweets.
No, damn that. This is the incompetence of the leader of our free world.
Yeah.
I told you he wasn't going to get another term. He's too damn dumb.
Hey, it's still up in the air. But
it's over. It's over.
Let's hope.
It's over.
Let's hope.
By some miracle work of God, it's
thank
over.
You, thank you to Michigan for turning blue. I appreciate
Michigan
that.
Turned the hell out.
Yeah.
They turned out.
Yeah.
For the first time. Yeah. This is the first time. And you know, Biden received more votes than President Obama in 2008 and in 2012.
He got a lot of votes.
And in 2012.
Yeah.
The most votes in American history.
That's what's up.
For the mail-in ballot. Ain't that something?
Yeah, my next box of Bootios is going to the state of Florida. We don't even have to say it. And
damn,
Florida,
really?
Florida, you get a box.
They've always been a Republican state.
Q and Katie.
The Booty! Oh!
Enjoy your box.
Damn, nothing else to be said, huh?
Nothing else to be said. Nothing.
Well.
Nothing.
My next box of Bootios. I mean, just flat out. I mean, look. I watched it on Sunday. I watched it time and time again. You know, I watched the NFL All 22. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about this bitch named Mitch, okay? Do you know he's hurt? Do you know he's hurt?
Mr. Trubisky?
Yes, he's hurt.
I didn't know that.
He played one play. It was a quarterback read option. He ran out to the left, got tackled. Somewhere in between that time of him getting his weak ass up off turf and going to the sideline after that tackle, he tore his rotator. He has structural damage in his shoulder.
Wow.
What a puss. Cue it, Katie.
The Booty! Oh!
Puss in Boots.
Get rid of this dude already. Just get rid of him.
Speaking of quarterbacks, my next box of the Booty O's is going to none other than Baker Mayfield.
Oh, God.
You were 12 for 25, 125 yards, zero touchdowns. You get a box of
the Booty. Oh,
wow.
I love that. Oh,
it's so great.
Yes sir. Are you good on boxes or you got
hell any no I got oh, okay. more to give
definitely
more to give
let's go
more to give you know I really want to give John James a box, bro, for these terrible ass commercials. I swear I do.
I hear you.
Because and then he turns around and tries to throw it. I'm from Detroit. The fuck? No, you're not. No, you're not.
Somebody on Stop. Facebook said, has Carmex reached out to John James?
Please,
yet?
With them crusty ass lips. Can make a peach cobbler. Lips so damn crusty. I swear.
Flakes.
My God.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Then he got his grandma on there looking like Ricky Smiley. Have you remember when Ricky Smiley used to dress up as the grandmother on Comic View?
Yeah,
my God.
I know. Yeah. It's funny. She was actually Ricky Smiley played that same grandma on First Sunday.
Yes.
There was a movie called First Sunday with Ice Cube and Tracy Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
And she played the grandma.
Yeah,
on
when they was robbing the damn church.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. But I'm not going to give it to him, though. I'm not going to give it to him. I'm going to lay off of him because he's all right. Okay. I'm going to lay off of him.
You should give his commercials a box, though.
But them commercials is freaking terrible.
Are they worse than the Attorney Kyle Collins commercials? Those are the worst.
Oh, my God.
He is good.
He is bad with these damn commercials. And where the hell do we find these people at? I lost a brother, but my mother lost a son. There is no other significant loss. That's why I call Attorney Carl Collins.
Dog, that's hilarious.
He is good.
That's hilarious,
like,
bro.
Awful. But no, it's no.
Mm-mm-mm.
Danny Dimes, the New York Giants quarterback.
Wow.
I'm not blasting you for what you did this week, but you had a clear damn touchdown. A clear touchdown the week before.
Yes, he did.
Where you took the hell off and struck out, and then you just... I don't know if somebody came and tripped you.
Ghost blew his breath.
I don't know if Casper the ghost tripped you up.
Dog.
But I guess it was too much green grass in front of you when you got to the 15.
Dog.
Then you start tripping off your own damn feet.
Bro.
And that was the reason why y'all lost the game.
Bro.
Because you didn't score a touchdown.
They didn't score off of that?
No.
He ran like an 85-yard run.
It was gone all by himself and tripped off his own two damn feet. So, Danny Dime, you get a box of Cue
the
Katie.
Booty. Oh!
Still think about them damn John James commercials.
Man, speaking of God. New York, because he just said Danny Dimes and the New York Giants, Adam Gase, your Jets are 0-8. Mm. You get a box of
the Booty. Oh!
Like, how you just keep losing? Like, every week. It's embarrassing.
Mm.
And I'm gonna give another box. Pontiac, Michigan, your football team, you only play what? How many games they played this
man,
year?
Man, they six. They only got into the playoffs by default.
Six
man. Come
games,
on.
Bro. You play Bay City Central. Bay City Central annihilated you 64-0.
What you think was going to happen? They were the lowest seed.
64-0?
Somebody else beat the hell out of them 70-0. So, I mean, why?
Pontiac High.
Getting basketball scores
and
put up on them. Now.
Mr. Montgomery, you get a box of
the booty. Oh.
They need to just fold up they sports programming, bro. The football. Fold it up. These kids are ninth graders. They play in varsity. They've never played football in their lives. This is beyond embarrassing.
Well, we've talked about that.
Stop. Stop playing.
State of Pontiac in our previous podcast. But before we get out of here,
I got one more box.
Who you got one for? Always do this.
Paula White. You get a box of
the booty. Oh.
Who the hell is Paula White?
Google Paula White, bro.
No,
Paula
tell White. Tell the fans who the
Paula
hell she
White
is. You can't
is,
just say that and then
Paula
don't
White
say who she
is. Okay, you ever heard of Joyce Myers? She's like Joyce Myers, except she's a little younger. She's a white. Okay, so she's a white female pastor who is a Trump supporter. And she's on here making all these posts. Please pray for Donald Trump. Nothing wrong with praying for the president, because the Bible says you should pray for your leaders over the land and everything like that. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. We should pray for everybody. But she's going on here with all these rants. Oh, this and that. They're trying to please pray. They're trying to steal the election and this and that. And it's like, dude, everybody knows this man is not fit to lead this country, bro. They know it in other countries.
Look,
she's a supporter of Trump. She's a white woman. She's a, I mean, she's just been talking some crazy stuff.
Well, that's going to happen. You know what I'm
so
saying?
So she get in the box, flat out.
Okay.
She keep popping up in my timeline. I'm like, I'm finna block this chick, bro.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to do a joint venture with you. Who the hell is Valerie Willis?
Never heard of her.
Have you heard of Valerie Willis?
In the words of OG Bobby
Johnson.
She ran for
senator in the state of Michigan, right?
Mm-hmm.
She is a flat out crook, thief. Thief tried to sell houses that wasn't hers, that she didn't own. Valerie Willis, and someone voted for her. She had 47,000 votes.
Kanye has some votes too.
Listen to me. In the state of Michigan, running for senator, Valerie Willis had 47,000 votes.
Wow.
49,897 votes.
Wow.
You see that? Isn't that some ish? Isn't that? Isn't that some ish? She is. Who the hell? If you seen a picture of her, she got half her head shaved. She got the.
Valerie Willis?
Straight con artist.
Wow.
Who the hell gave. Okay, but those who gave her the 47,000 votes, you definitely get a
49,000,
of course. 49,000 now.
49 plus.
You get a huge heaping box of.
The booty!
I got one more box.
Oh,
I got another box. This box is for everyone who decided not to exercise their right to vote.
Exercise?
Everybody who decided not to exercise their right to vote.
Well, I'm pretty sure they turned out here, bro.
You lazy bastards.
No, I'm pretty sure they turned out here. This is the highest voter turnout.
But you know what's crazy,
in a
though?
Very long time.
But you know what's crazy? It was over 5 million people that voted from Michigan. Mm. But that's. If you consider how many people live in Michigan, that's still kind of sad. But people did show up according to the record books. This is the highest amount of voters ever.
You know what's crazy is that these.
And Sean King said more white women voted for Trump in 2020 than they did in 2016.
Why is that a shocker?
I'm kind of shocked about that.
Why is that a shocker?
Because he's been given 4 years to show us what he's about.
Do you think they give a do you think they care?
No, but I just didn't think it would be more. Maybe the same, maybe a little less. Not more.
Okay, look, let me tell you something, right? And I'm going to make it quick. I'm going to make
That's
it quick.
A key word,
I'm
going to
make it quick, right?
Mm-hmm.
This country is deeply rooted in racism.
I know.
Okay? So, this country is divided. It's divided, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if half of them, if half of your white males feel this way about the rest of nationalities in this country,
Valerie Willis,
they're married to white women who are going to vote the same way their husband vote. So why is that shocking you?
Yeah. I'm looking at Valerie Willis. Her barber deserves a box of bootios too.
Well, hey, she looks like a true con artist. But
Valerie Willis.
On another note, before we were sidetracked here.
Sorry, I just saw her picture and I just kind of got messed up about it.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody that voted. Shout out to the voter turnouts, everybody. I told you, you let your voices be heard. You did what you needed to do. You did your due diligence. I seen a post that an individual, actually here in Detroit, where an individual came up and voted. He said, we went from, picking cotton fields to picking a new president. Hmm. And it goes to show how important the vote is, your vote in these major urban cities.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to show how important it is when you vote.
Your vote is your voice. And I said on Facebook, if you didn't vote, shut up.
Because again, in a major metropolis like southeastern Michigan, where you have Detroit, where you have these, you have a major city like Detroit, right? That's mm-hmm. inhabited by
mm-hmm.
blacks,
mm-hmm.
Latinos. Mm-hmm. If you vote, they won't be there.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want them there, go vote.
Hopefully, by the time you guys hear this, Joe Biden will be...
He is the damn president. He's the president.
The 46th president.
He's the president. It's a done deal, man. It's a done deal.
I hope so.
It's over. It's a done deal.
It's over?
Yeah, he's at...
265?
Because you needed 270,
268,
right?
Yeah. He's 268? At 268. It's over.
What is Trump at?
215. Yeah, it's over.
Oh, my Lord.
It's over.
Thank you, Jesus.
They're going to drag it out, but it's over. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
264.
Yeah, 264.
That's good enough.
Nevada needs to be called, and then that's it.
Nice. Let's go,
and
Biden.
Clark County in Nevada is majority Democrat.
This is a shock to me because I thought Trump was going to win again.
I told you he wasn't.
I told my wife in 2016.
It is, in the years that I've been watching elections, it is
one of the closest.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to lose by two.
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts.
But once he hit 270, they'll call it. There's no need to cut. There's no need to count anything else.
And you know what's funny? You know, I got to give a box out. I got to give one more box. This dude, one of my boys, name is Jake. I'm gonna say your name, Jacob Moore. He said God showed him that Trump was gonna be the president. Jacob Moore.
Okay, wait, because this is where I'm finna go off. All right.
No, bro, let's go off after this, bro.
No.
I just got to give him his box real quick.
No, because I'm sick of people like him. I'm sick of him. Because you push your stupid bullshit narrative.
Bro.
No, I don't care. You push that bullshit narrative on uneducated, uninformed blacks, and you give them that idea, and you discourage them to vote. Shut your fucking mouth, okay? You keep your own opinions to yourself. I don't care. Shut your mouth.
He got a Facebook page. He got a platform to say what he want to say.
It don't
bro.
Matter. But what I'm saying is that uninformed bullshit that people spew, like that whole, Trump is going against the Illuminati. I heard all kind of dumb shit.
Give him a box, Katie.
Give him a box.
The Booty! Oh!
You could have said all that off the air.
It needs to be said on air for all the idiots who sit up here and said this, because I had stupid ass family members who thought like that too. Dumb.
Hey, I'm not.
And when they do that, I cut the cord. Because, again, it makes me think you're senile, number one, to be saying something crazy like that. Whatever.
Hopefully we made your day a little bit bigger.
And a little bit brighter. Make sure to tune in to us on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter at The Big and Bright Show.
Yes, sir.
Also, next week, man, we definitely going to rock on the new news and notes, the new trades. Cats got down with their new teams and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a big showdown with Notre Dame and Clemson without Trevor Lawrence. So we're going to see how that goes around.
Mm-hmm.
With my man, last name is Ugalele, Clemson's quarterback. But he's a dope freshman, though.
That's
dope. Right. But Ugalele. But could this knock Clemson out of the national title race? I think they'll find a way to put him in there with one loss. So,
we'll see.
Go ahead and lead us out, Deuce and Summer.
Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next time.